This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality. The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass. On Joy 94.9.
This is Triple Bypass. Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Kulin Nation, whose sovereignty was never ceded. We pay our respects to elders past, present and future, to the brother boys and sister girls of the Indigenous LGBTI community, and to any elders that may be listening right now. This is Real Big Fish with She Has a Girlfriend Now.
Hi there. It is 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, which must mean it's time for the representation hour, which must mean that I am Jennifer Piper. And indeed, all of those things are true, I assure you. Tonight on the representation hour for Triple Bypass, I'm going to have a little chat with you about where we are now with bisexual representation on television. And we're going to look specifically at some of the most recent, most exciting pieces of representation. And I want to know what you think. Are we getting better? Is the situation improving? Are we getting to a point where maybe, just maybe, we might be seeing the kind of nuance and humanity in bisexual characters that we've all been gagging for? Hit me up, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Who are your favourite bisexual characters on TV right now? Is it better? Are you loving it? Do we have further to go? In the meantime, here's Janelle Monáe with Django Jane.
This is my palace, champagne in my chalice. I got it all covered like a wedding band, Wonderland, so my alias is Alice. And we gon' start a motherfucking pussy riot, or we gon' have to put them on a pussy diet. Look at that, I guarantee I got them quiet. Look at that, I guarantee they all inspired. A-Town made it out there, straight out Kansas City, yeah, we made it out there. Celebrated, graduated, made it pass fail. Sassy, classy, Kool-Aid with the kale. Mama was a G, she was cleaning hotels. Papa was a driver, I was working retail. Kept us in the back of the store, we ain't hitting no more. Moonlit nigga, lit nigga. Already got the Oscar for the Casa. Running down Grammys with the family. Probably give a Tony to the homies. Probably get an Emmy dedicated to the highly melanated. Arc Android orchestrated. Yeah, we highly melanated. Arc Android orchestrated. Yeah, Geminati still jamming. Box office numbers and they doing outstanding. Running out of space in my damn bandwagon. Remember when they used to say I look too mannish? Black girl magic, y'all can't stand it. Y'all can't ban it, made out like a bandit. They've been trying hard just to make us all vanish. I suggest they put a flag on a whole nother planet. Jane Bond, never Jane Doe. And I Django, never Sambo. Black and white, yeah, that's always been my camo. It's looking like y'all gonna need some more ammo. I cut them off, I cut them off, I cut them off like Van Gogh. Now, pan right for the angle. I got away with murder, no scandal. Cue the violins and violas. We gave you life, we gave you birth. We gave you God, we gave you earth. We film the future, don't make it worse. You want the world, well, what's it worth? Emoticons, Decepticons, and Autobots. Who twist the plot, who shot the sheriff, then fled to Paris. In the darkest hour, spoke truth to power. Made a fandroid out of your girlfriend. Let's get caught downtown in the whirlwind. And paint the city pink, paint the city pink. And tuck the pearls in, just in case the world in. And nigga down dog, nigga move back, take a seat, you are not involved. And hit the mute button, let the vagina have a monologue. Mansplaining, I fold them like origami. What's the way, baby? This is a tsunami. For the culture, I kamikaze. I put my life on a lifeline. If she the GOAT, now would anybody doubt it? If she the GOAT, now would anybody doubt it? Huh. Do anybody got it? Do anybody got it? I say anybody got it.
Could she be any more extraordinary? Janelle Monáe there with Django Jane. And I don't know about you, but I am hanging out for the album. Oh, word, yes. Hanging by fingernails or teeth or, oh, look, whatever I should be hanging by. It is 9:05. You are on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I am Jennifer, and that means it's the last Tuesday of the month, and so we are talking bisexual representation in pop culture. And tonight, I want to have a look at the current apparent wave of visibility in television. And I'm looking specifically at television because it is one of the most broad-reaching broad-reaching media we have. If you consider how many people are likely to see each medium, television's probably going to have the broadest reach. And we're looking at broadcast and streaming because that's the world we live in. I highly recommend getting online, going over to Vulture and vulture.com and checking out Catherine Van Arendonk's article, Why Are There So Many Bisexuals on TV All of a Sudden? It's great. It's a quick, easy read. Do it on the train. And I've drawn a fair bit of inspiration from that tonight, because she asks a lot of the same questions that I'm interested in asking. And it almost feels like we're at the start of a wave. Not the crest, not yet. But we might almost possibly maybe be getting close to one day be near to the point where we have enough bisexual characters on television that we might actually get to see some nuance. We might have enough characters on television that it becomes harder to label everybody who is multigender attracted with the same big sticky label. Van Arendonk quotes Rachel Klein's article on Bitch Media, also worth reading. And Klein says, people are complex and so are their identities. The more bisexual characters we see, the less likely we are to draw conclusions about an entire group of people based on a few examples, and the more we'll be able to experience the full range of human experience in art and life. And at a time when we are seeing more same-sex attracted women killed on television than ever before, I'm ready to see a bit of nuance. So let's celebrate it. And I really do want to know what you think. Are we almost at the point of seeing the fabled bisexual who just wants to have a cup of tea in the garden? And Claire, I did not intend any double entendre there. Each wave of representation that we've had historically in storytelling and popular media brings a new level of understanding. So we've seen it with, more divorced people being on television gives a greater understanding of what it is to be divorced. Working mothers, we saw more and more on television and it became somewhat less of a terrible thing. The more we see people of colour on television, the more we see trans people, people of varying immigration status or gender status, the more we understand that these that people can be of a certain immigration status or gender identity or sexuality and still have their own human nuance. Because TV is such a widely consumed medium, seeing more bisexual characters and more nuanced bisexual characters on television can only lead to that greater understanding. Now, Van Arendonk suggests an additional reason why bisexual characters are so appealing at the moment, at least from their perspective. And for them, it's all about romantic relationships and how a bisexual love triangle is more interesting than a hetero or homosexual love triangle, or the tension of will they, won't they, will they, won't they, and then they get together, or how will the nice lady ever land a husband? I'm not completely certain about that. I'm, again, always in favour of moving towards the bisexual who just wants to sit in the garden with a nice cup of tea. But look, whatever gets us there, whatever gets this wave cresting and bisexuality humanised is good with me. It's 10 past nine. You are on Joy. It's the representation hour for Triple Bypass. And this is Alan Cumming with Why.
How many times do I have to try to tell you that I'm sorry for the things I've done? Ooh. When I start to try to tell you, that's when you have to tell me, hey, this kind of trouble's only just begun. I tell myself too many times, why don't you ever learn to keep your big mouth shut? That's why it hurts so bad to hear the words that keep on falling from your mouth, falling from your mouth, falling from your mouth. Tell me why. Tell me why. I may be mad, I may be blind, I may be viciously unkind, but I can still read what you're thinking. Ooh. I've heard it said too many times that you'd be better off. Besides, why can't you see this boat is sinking? This boat is sinking. Let's go down to the water's edge. We can cast away those doubts. Some things are better left unsaid, but they still turn me inside out. Turn me inside out. Turn me inside out. Tell me why. I've never read, these are the words I've never said, this is the path I'll never tread, these are the dreams I'll dream instead, this is the joy that's seldom spread, these are the tears we shed, this is the fear, this is the dread, these are the contents on my head, these are the years that we have spent, and this is what they represent. Do you know how I feel? Cause I don't think you know how I feel. This is the book I've never read, these are the words I've never said, this is the path I'll never tread, these are the dreams I'll dream instead. This is the joy that's seldom spread. These are the tears we shed. This is the fear, this is the dread. These are the contents of my head.
Yeah. Love.
As if she needed to be back announced. That was Lady Gaga with Just Dance. My sincerest apologies. I forgot to say at the top of the hour that Joy broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, especially the brother boys and sister girls of our LGBTQI family. It is 19 minutes past nine. You are on Joy, and this is the representation hour for Triple Bypass. Tonight we are talking about the most recent wave of bisexual representation in television, and I want to hear your thoughts. Send me an SMS on 0427 Joy949, email onair@joy.org.au, and let me know what you think. Is it getting better? Are we seeing the wave grow? Are we... hold on to your chairs, maybe about to get some nuance and a bit of understanding. Oh, I never. Peter Nagy wrote recently for The Atlantic a piece called TV's Radical Bisexual Comic Book Antihero. It's been republished on SBS Sexuality, I believe, and it's a nice little piece looking at the delightfully divine John Constantine, the chain-smoking, perpetually antagonistic bisexual warlock anti-hero that we always knew we needed. In comic book land, John Constantine has been bisexual since around 1992. And we've had additional mentions here and there of Constantine's bisexuality. Sorry, I was just looking up. It was John Smith's issue, Hellblazer, Counting to Ten. I had left it on another piece of paper, which would have looked very entertaining if you could see me, but you can't, so just take my word for it. Anyway, 1992, John Constantine... we start to suspect, some of us might have known, that Constantine was bisexual. And then we get more little snippets of it, overcoming issues. 2005 rolls around and we're getting a Constantine movie with Keanu freaking Reeves. So, of course, the character was entirely straight-washed. Okay, all right, you know, 2005, maybe we weren't ready for Keanu Reeves to get hot and heavy with women and men on the big screen. Who are we kidding? Of course we were. We're always ready for that. Then we had the NBC TV series with Matt Ryan in as John Constantine, and we're told outright that that side of the character would not be explored. Isn't it interesting that bisexuality always seems to be a side that needs to be explored intensely rather than just a thing that people are? Anyway, apparently the showrunner advised that maybe around season 20 we might get to that. Yeah, that show was cut after one season. So good job there. Anyway, in this piece for The Atlantic, Nagy praises Daddy Darkest, which is an episode of Legends of Tomorrow, which is our current iteration of John Constantine, still played by Matt Ryan, which is great. And in Daddy Darkest, we see an unequivocally bisexual Constantine. And Nagy praises this episode, Daddy Darkest, as portraying bisexuality, and I quote, as an expansive form of desire rather than as a rigidly defined identity. Because we do have a tendency with superheroes of the quest to know who I am. You know, I am Iron Man. I am the immortal Iron Fist. Who am I? I am Spider-Man. I am Vengeance. I am the Knight. I am Batman. My name is Wally West. I'm the Flash. Everyone knows their name. It's really, really lovely. Good work. Good work, chums. But there's no real space for ambiguity in identity. And Nagy does flag that, yes, this could be seen as problematic because we've got a whole lot of tropes of bisexual people just having no idea of what they really want or not being able to figure out who they really are. But I tend to agree that this particular episode of Legends handles it pretty well. And really, as Nagy says, from the moment he steps foot on the Legends time travel ship, known as the Wave Rider in Daddy Darkest, the Warlock sweet talks both men and women of different backgrounds, sexual preferences, and, yes, relationship statuses. He hits on Leo Snart, a gay hero from a different Earth, Vixen, a woman from the past, and, of course, Sarah Lance, also known as the White Canary, who is the bisexual assassin and leader of the team. And then we get this beautiful little subtext of Constantine, who you may remember I mentioned is a chain-smoking anti-hero, asking Lance and then Snart alternately to light his cigarette. You know, so we've got that old Hollywood physical intimacy via shared cigarettes. And look, maybe it's something about wearing a trench coat and travelling through space and time. Of course, I'm talking about Torchwood. That makes people get all fired up over whoever and whatever. But one thing that I find particularly exciting about this is that we're seeing a male character in a superhero narrative who is bisexual. And this is a character who appears to be quite traditionally masculine. And to my mind, superhero stories, perhaps not in comic books so much, but definitely in screen adaptations, often rely on extreme or toxic notions of masculinity for their tension and their plot. This allows for some women to be sexually fluid, if, of course, they remain appealing to the male gaze, but it doesn't allow for a lot of sexual fluidity among male characters. After all, a male character who can win a woman and get naked with a man is a serious threat to the scaffolding of toxic masculinity. Legends already has Sarah Lance, who was established as bisexual in Arrow and even before she was on television, who manages to have a romantic history that is not always directed for the male gaze. But this addition is particularly exciting. we still have this odd and very toxic idea that women's sexuality can be a little bit more fluid than men's sexuality, and that doesn't take into consideration at all what happens for non-binary people. And given the overlap between non-binary gender and non-binary sexuality, that's just a whole great big kettle of fish that needs sorting. And so by showing Constantine as shifting in one episode between attraction to of different genders, Legends is actively reading him as bi. It is not possible to watch this one episode and read him as monosexual. And that's really exciting. And it does it without undermining his character, his masculinity, apologising for him or trying to explain it away. And I think that's pretty great. What do you think? Send me an SMS, 0427JOY949, or email onair@joy.org.au.
I guess we know this gone on and on. Does anybody know what we are looking for? Another hero, another mindless crime behind the curtain in the pantomime.
You are on Joy. It's 28 minutes to 10, which means we are halfway through this month's episode of the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass. I am Jennifer, and I'm with you till 10. Funnily enough, the hour goes for an hour. While we are on the topic, as we were before the break, of how willing we are to accept bisexuality in men as opposed to bisexuality in women, I want to move straight over to Grown-ish, which is rad. Great series. Check it out if you haven't already. And I want to talk particularly about a story arc we've had this year, starting on episode 4, Starboy. Now, Nomi is one of the characters on Grown-ish. She's been out as bisexual to her friends, but not to her family, for the entire series. At the start of this episode, she's in a casual relationship with a woman. They're getting a drink at a bar. She is hit on by a guy and, you know, rebuffs it, says it's all a little bit too much, coming on a bit strong there. And her date then says how much she hates it when, you know, straight guys do the whole threesome fetish thing with lesbian couples. Now, not many people love to be fetishized, certainly by strangers when they're having a nice drink with their partner. But Nomi responds and says the threesome thing's kind of hot, and since she's bisexual, it's not the same. And we get this very straightforward exchange where Nomi says, technically I'm bi. Date says, you are. She says, I want to say yeah, but you're giving me a real strong no vibe. And Date says, look, I don't want to be some girl's experiment. A lot of us have been there. Thank you so much. It's not an always thing, but it is an oft-times thing. And we get a really interesting conversation then, a good exploration of the biphobia that happens within the LGBTQI community. And there's a good exploration there of why Nomi shouldn't be considered a tourist by her date. But that's not where it ends. Nomi then gets together with the guy who offered to buy her a drink, Dave. And in the next episode, she finds out that he's also bi. Nomi's own internalized biphobia is so strong that even though rationally she knows that this shouldn't be a problem, and she knows that she has just dealt with this biphobia in the episode before, she freaks out and breaks up with him. He's baffled. You know, he met her when she was on a date with another woman, so surely she understands how bisexuality works. And she replies, if you see two girls in bed, it's like not a big deal. But if you see two guys in bed, it's like, it's weird. It's like, where's the other bed? She knows she's a hypocrite, but she can't get over this internalized biphobia that she's wandering around with. And she says, I feel like if you're into guys too, how can I ever be enough for you? Dave beautifully responds with, well, that's got nothing to do with me being bisexual. That's because you're insecure, which is true. But we're getting nuance. We are getting a frightened, confused, hypocritical bisexual woman having a conversation about bisexuality and about the ramifications to a relationship of that sexuality with a bisexual man. I mean, goodness me, would you really have thought that this would be happening now? You know, we get the opportunity to see on screen somebody trying to pull apart the idea that bisexual attraction makes you incapable of a monogamous relationship. And we get to see somebody trying to do that who has just tried to explain it to somebody else. And that's a rarity. That's a rare and precious jewel that I think we should all be really trying to, I don't know, to nurture. I want to see more of it. I want to see bisexual characters messing up. I want to see them with the opportunity to redeem themselves, you know, before they get fridged, ideally. I want to see them be lovable and horrible and human. What do you want to see? SMS me on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. It's 23 minutes to 10. You are on Joy.
Government for hire and a combat site. Left your weapon coming in a hurry with the fury breathing down your neck. Team by team reporters, battle trucks, tethered crops. Look at that moon land. Find them. Overflow, population, common food, but it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself, world serves its own needs. Listen to your heart, lean dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right. Right, you vitriotic, patriotic, slam both neck, right, feeling pretty sight. It's the end of the world as we know it. Every motive escalate, automotive incinerate, light a candle, light a photo, step down, watch a heel crush, crust, uh-oh, that means no fear, cavalier, renegade, stare, fear, tournament of lies, offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline, it's the end of the world. Symbiotic, patriotic, slam book net, right?
Right.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Time.
Oh, thank you, Stipe. Another beautiful bisexual there, Michael Stipe, with REM and It's the End of the World as We Know It. And look, it might just be we're seeing actual bisexual people on television, so, you know, plagues and death and destruction are bound to follow, right? Now, I am pretty excited, as you may have gathered, by this apparent new wave of nuanced, interesting, non-tropey bisexual characters that are coming on television because, if, you know, the more we see it, the more we understand it is true, then something good's happening right now. And so I want to talk about Jane the Virgin. Jane's new love interest, Adam, is bisexual. So we right now have the Latino romantic lead we've all been waiting for. A bisexual one. Yes. And this is an interesting one. Like Nomi in Grown-ish, Jane is considers herself to be really forward-thinking. She's intelligent. She is empathetic. She's definitely got a woke card in her back pocket. But just like Nomi, she freaked the hell out when she discovered that her boyfriend was bisexual. And this boyfriend came with a whole lot of background. This is her first love. And as much as I would have loved Jane to just be totally cool with it and it's not a plot point, it was kind of useful to see her panic because it gave Adam a chance to really pull apart and destroy some of those stereotypes about bisexuality. Jane asks why he waited so long to tell her. And he, you know, replies that he was worried about how she would react, and rightfully so, because she panicked. She absolutely panicked, and she asked him the two things that always seem to be asked: is bisexuality just a stop on the way to Gay Town, and can I give you what a man can give you? And Adam replies beautifully, of course bisexuality is not a stop on the way to Gay Town. It just means that he's open to connection with more than one gender. And as for her not being able to give him what a man can give him, he replies with, again, the absolute truth. She can't give him what another woman can give him either. But it doesn't matter because he wants to be with her. He doesn't want to be with anyone else, regardless of his gender. So one might even argue that he's extra committed and into her. Yeah, no, I'm not buying that one either. Anyway, it's this beautiful moment because she panics, he responds, and he continues to be the romantic lead. And there's a pretty good interview with showrunner Jenny Snyder-Ehrman on Variety, actually, where she talks about introducing Adam and deciding that he would be the one to be the bisexual character. And I quote, "We had huge discussions about who Adam was before we started breaking stories because we were introducing a character who comes with a lot of history, a lot of weight for Jane, and a lot of narrative propulsive energy for us. So that was something we discussed and decided on early on. I feel like you see a lot of bisexual women on TV because men think it's sexy when women make out. So that's become a little more seen on TV. And we felt like we hadn't had a romantic hero who's also bisexual. And also, it felt like an interesting place to explore because Jane would think she's very progressive and Jane would think she'd have no issue with it. That would be the place she wants to come into the story with. But then she has to unpack a lot of stuff." And they do unpack it. And that's really exciting. Then, hold on to your bi plus hats, my beauties, because then, chapter 74, we get bisexual Petra. Yep. It is the dawning of the age of Jetra. It's not Petra with Jane Villanueva, but it is Petra with new Jane. Yep. Petra finds herself attracted to her lawyer, Jane Ramos, played, of course, by Rosario Dawson. I mean, to be fair, who isn't in love with Rosario Dawson is my first question. So, you know, what could we expect of Petra? But it's still pretty exciting. We've got a TV series based on telenovelas that is celebrating two pretty important bisexual relationships. And I tell you, my peeps, I am here for it. I am so here for it. You are on Joy. It's 11 minutes to 10. Send me an SMS, 0427JOY949, or email onair@joy.org.au. Tell me what you're thinking. Are you enjoying this bisexual wave? And speaking of bisexual wave, here's another delightful bisexual, a little bit closer to home, Courtney Act with Ugly.
The sun is up and I'm coming down. It's been a while, but I'm burning out. Flipping my fingers on the 5-inch screen. No, I can't pictures comfortably numb to the scene. Tap it twice if you like it. Tap it twice if you like it. Think twice. You may not like it, like it or not.
Courtney Act there with Ugly. You are on Joy. It's 7 minutes to 10, which means there are 7 minutes more of the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass. And I want to finish off with one of the sweetest little acknowledgements of bisexuality and naming of bisexuality I've seen on TV in recent times. Santa Clarita Diet. Season 2 has just come out on Netflix. If you haven't watched the whole thing, then turn your volume down for a wee bit. Although, do you know what? This isn't a massive spoiler. You're still going to love it when it happens. Lisa Palmer, played by Mary Elizabeth Ellis, started the series married to Dan, played by Ricardo Chavira. They are the Hammonds' next-door neighbours. So they live next door to the protagonists. Dan goes missing. He gets eaten. And she then hooks up with Anne Garcia, played by Natalie Morales, who, again, is just so exquisitely beautiful. Who wouldn't fall in love with her? But there's a gorgeous moment in the final episode of season 2, episode's called Halibut, in which the Hammonds visit their neighbours for Lisa's baptism. And the baptism's full of cops. They're super nervous. It's all, you know, as it always is. But during a discussion that has absolutely nothing to do with sexuality, a friend standing behind Lisa and Anne turns to Lisa and says, apropos of nothing, so did your bisexuality sneak up on you or did it burn in you for a long time? Ordinarily, these kind of questions can be, you know, a little bit annoying. But this time it's coming from a person who is so obviously feeling the need to speak to somebody who is experiencing the same sexuality as they are. This woman's eyes burn with bisexual recognition and she just wants to know how to do it. And it's so sweet and it's so pure. And it was a moment and then it was over and I adored it. Absolutely adored it. So, brava, Santa Clarita Diet. You're done good. You're done real good. You are on Joy. It's 4 minutes to 10. This has been the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass. I'm Jennifer. I will be back again next month on the last Tuesday of the month to talk all things bi-plus representation in pop culture. And to end, I would like to quote this great article on Bitch Media. I don't owe anyone proof that I actually genuinely like being with women sexually, or that I am loyal to my husband. But being questioned in this regard can make the process of coming to terms with one's identity much harder. The answer to mitigating these misconceptions is to live our truths with authenticity and build non-judgmental relationships with people from across the sexual orientation and gender spectrum. Doing so will break down the stereotypes that take root when we fail to see people's individual humanity. Media can help with this process, as always, with greater and more diverse bisexual representation. After all, people are complex, and so are their identities. The more bisexual characters we see, the less likely we are to draw conclusions about an entire group of people based on a few examples, and the more we'll be able to appreciate the full range of human experience in life and in art. Ah, Rachel Klein says it well. You know who else says it well? Rosa Diaz in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm bi. Get over it. This has been the Representation Hour. I'm Jennifer. And to take us through to local roots, here's Janelle Monáe with Make Me Feel on permanent repeat at the moment.
Baby, don't make me spell it out for you. All of the feelings that I got for you can't be explained, but I can try for you. Yeah, baby, don't make me spell it out for you. You keep on asking me the same questions. Why? And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way.
stop it. You got me right here in your jean pocket. Right now. Laying your body on the shag carpet. Ooh, you know I love it, so please don't stop it. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender. And emotional, sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.